Thank our brother again for those messages, and we pray that God will write them upon our hearts and you not go home without the Saviour. I wonder, could we turn to Mark's Gospel chapter 7 tonight, and we're going to read from verse 24. We have been looking at the miracles in Mark, and we have come into Mark's Gospel chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to make the children bread and to cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for the message in song. We thank thee for the challenge that has been brought again tonight. And we'd ask thee that thou wouldst write that word upon hearts, and that we might be shut in with thee. And our God, that we might come in faith. Lord, our faith is weak. We say like one of old, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And our God, we pray in the midst of our faith in thee, that thou wouldst deal with our unbelief. Come, our God, and help us to look to thee, and bless thy word to our hearts, for it's in Jesus' precious name that I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. The story of the Syrophoenician woman and its longer account in Matthew chapter 15, the parallel account, is a very fascinating and yet a very controversial portion of Scripture. And what makes it controversial is that the Scripture here depicts the Lord Jesus in a very unattractive way. He does not seem to do things as he typically does them. When people come to him asking for help or asking for healing, or when he encounters them with some need, he immediately meets them at the point of their need, and he heals them and assures them of his compassion and his care. But that does not seem to be the case in this portion of Scripture. Indeed, he seems to refuse to help this Gentile woman. And there were a number of good reasons why the Lord Jesus had gone into this region of Tyre and Sidon. He had been exposing the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. And he'd gone up into this region in order to get away from the crowds. Now, Tyre and Sidon was Tyre, of course, on the Mediterranean coast. It was famous for its Tyrian purple, which was a very expensive dye made out of a mollusk that you find in the sea. It was highly desirable. It was the colour of royalty. And Tyre grew to be a major power on the back of this trade. And it was part of the Phoenician city system. And its power grew and grew until it was conquered by Alexander the Great in 333 BC. Then it waned for a while until the Romans came and took it over and conquered it. And again it became the centre of trade and industry. Now, in biblical terms, Tyre is associated with Jezebel. In the Bible, it is best known as Jezebel's hometown. And when you read about the Lord going into the region of Tyre and Sidon, we will probably underestimate what that meant. Because really he was going into enemy territory. He was going into a region in which Jews would not go. Indeed, it was unpopular for Jews to have anything to do with those Gentiles from Tyre and Sidon. Indeed, perhaps it would have even put the Lord's life in danger because he went into that place. Because you remember how the Lord Jesus mentioned Elijah in Luke chapter 4, and he spoke about how Elijah had gone to the Sidonian city. And it says in verses 25 and 26 of Luke 4, "But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." And when the Lord Jesus said that, we're told that the people took up stones in an attempt to murder him. So having anything to do or mentioning these hated people stirred up a real resentment, a real hatred among the Jews. Now Tyre was predominantly a Gentile town. This woman comes, she's seeking healing for her demon-possessed daughter. And we're told specifically here that she's a Syrophoenician and that she is a Gentile. She is not a Jew. But she comes bowing at the feet of the Lord Jesus and she gets a curious response. She's asking for deliverance for her daughter. But look at Mark chapter 7 verse 27. The Lord says to her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs." By children, the Lord Jesus is referring to the children of Israel. But he refers to this woman and her daughter as a dog. Now that is something that is no compliment by any means. A dog is accounted by the Jews a worthless, contemptible, undeserving kind of a thing. Now does the Lord Jesus really call this woman a dog? Well, there are many who have tried to get round it and they have thought that the Lord Jesus was referring to a little puppy, or that he said it with a wink in his eye or a twinkle in his eye as he said it, or that he was just trying to try and test the woman. But you know, there is no way in getting round this. What he was saying is that she and her daughter were like a dog. It was no term of endearment that he was using. And you notice how this woman here, she's been through despair and heartache, and she has faced the demon possession of her dear beloved daughter, and she comes to the feet of the Lord Jesus and seems as if she is spurned. Now sometimes, dear friend, it is not easy to come to Jesus' feet. Now it's the easiest thing in the world in many ways. The gospel gives an open invitation. It calls on men and women to come to Christ and to trust him. But in other ways, and in another term, it is the most difficult thing. And maybe if you've come and you've come to gospel meetings such as this, you've heard the gospel before, but it seems to you as if it is a very difficult thing. You have been wrestling, and the devil has been wrestling with you. And it seems somehow as if the Lord is not answering your cry. Well, I want us to look at this portion of Scripture because here's a woman who's commended for her faith. Despite the difficulties, despite the seeming spurning and scorning that she received, she pressed on and pressed through to Christ. And oh, dear friend, that you would do the same. No matter what obstacle you may face, no matter what difficulty there may be along your pathway, no matter what you've got to overcome, you come to Christ and seek the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior and your God. There are a number of things about this Syrophoenician woman that I want you to see in the Word of God tonight. The first thing I want you to see is the trial that she faced. Look at verses 25 and 26. We're introduced to her there. It said, "A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her. daughter. Now notice her desperation here. You can imagine the desperation of this woman. You can imagine what it must have been, what a great burden she'd been bearing. You can imagine her coming and casting herself at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And what has gone behind that? Years of worry. Years of anxiety. No doubt this young girl had been brought to the doctors and to the physicians, and nothing had been done for her. She was possessed by a devil. Devil possession seems to have been a very common thing in the days of the Lord Jesus and in the days of the early New Testament. No doubt it was because the word of God had not been preached in the land for 400 years, from the times of Malachi the word of God, to the time of the Lord Jesus. The word of God had not been preached. Where the word of God is not preached in a society and in a nation, that's where the devil has sway. What a great blessing there is in our nation. What a great blessing there is in our land. Because the word of God is still preached. That's why we don't see so much demon possession today. But here's a woman and her daughter's tormented. You think of what it must mean to have a demon possessed. To be in the very depths of wickedness. To be afflicted day by day. To be driven to things that really, maybe, perhaps you don't want to be driven to. Here's a girl and she's captive. Held captive by the devil. And the woman comes and she knows that the only one who can meet her at the point of her need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is, dear friend. He's the only one who can set the captive free. He's the only one who can deliver from demons and from disease and from death. He is the mighty miracle-working Savior. But I want you to notice how she comes to the Savior. There's no vagueness about what she asked for. There's no beating around the bush. There's an intensity about what she asked. It says in verses 25 and 26, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her. That's what she wanted. That's what she needed. That's how the problem was going to be dealt with. The devil had to be dealt with in the heart of this dear girl. But here's a woman who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She believes that he can deliver. Do you believe that he can deliver you? Oh, there are so many here that can get up and give a word of testimony to the fact that the Lord Jesus delivered. Our brother has already given something of a word of testimony of how he came and put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, believe it. It's true. It's real. There's a transforming power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a mighty miracle-working power in the blood of the Savior, and he's able to deliver the vilest, the foulest, the most sin-infested creature, the demon-possessed. He's able to deliver. And he's able to deliver the soul's eternal welfare. Maybe tonight you feel that captivity of the devil. You can't get free. Oh, you might be in desperation tonight, but thank God there is one who can meet you at the point of your need. But look at not only her desperation, but look at her denial. Look at verse 23, it says, "But he answered her not a word." The Lord Jesus is silent. Now we come in gospel meetings such as this, and we say all you've got to do is call upon the Lord and he will receive you, and he will. Well, that's not what it seems to be like here. Here he is silent. He will not answer her. There's no instant response. What is the Lord Jesus doing? He's testing her. He is not speaking to her. You know, here's a woman, and not only is she facing this denial, but she is facing the ignorance of the disciples, because the disciples also, they are coming against her, and they are facing her. Verse 23 says that his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." So not only does she face the denial of the Savior, but it seems as if also the disciples want nothing to do with her. Sometimes God's people can be ignorant. Sometimes God's people can speak in a word in a way that we should not speak. Maybe at times we despise those that are down and out in sin, and we turn up our noses at those that are down in the very depths, and we forget that there but for the grace of God go I. We forget that we are hell-deserving sinners as well. And oh, maybe you're down in the very depths today, down in the very pit of sin. Oh, dear friend, even though maybe you've been despised by God's people and maybe they've turned up their nose at you, thank God there's a receiving Savior, one who's willing to bring you in. And though at times it seems as if Christ is denying you, I want you to see not only her denial, but look at her determination. For though it seems as if there's no way through, she presses on. Look at verses 25 and 26 again. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bed and cast it to dogs. And there she is, and she has called a dog. But look at, and she says, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And she's not put off by the seeming rebuke. She's not put off by the fact that it seems as if the Lord and his disciples are turning up their noses at her. But she presses on because she knows that this is the only way of deliverance. This is the only hope for her daughter. And you might have come to churches and you might have been offended by the message. It may be that you have heard preachers preaching and have said something that offended you. Or it may be that you have heard Christians criticizing you. Or it may be that somebody has come to your door and they have rubbed you up the wrong way and you have felt as if they've been pushing the message down your throat. Well, dear friend, no matter what offense you may have in the past, and sometimes you go to doors and you knock on doors and people open the door and they're full of wrath at the gospel because some wrong has been done to them in the past. But no matter what wrong has been done to you, and no matter how much you've seen to be rejected, press on, be determined to come to Christ, for he's the only hope. There's no other hope, there's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And she came humbly to the Savior. She came persistently to the Savior. She got down on her knees. And she cried with a full voice. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And if you pray like that, if you'll come with all your heart, Lord Jesus Christ will not turn you away. Oh, will you come to him? Will you trust him? Well, there may be somebody who's done you wrong, somebody who's spurned you, some Christian that has said something to you that has offended you. But you come, no matter about it, and come to the feet of the Savior. So we notice the test, the trial she faces. But secondly, I want you to see the trust she displayed. Now, I want you to see the faith of this woman. Look at how she calls on the Son, or calls on the Lord here. She says there, when she comes to the Lord, she says, have mercy on me, thou Son of David. She called him the Son of David in Matthew chapter 15, I think that is. She called on the Lord. She called him the Son of David. Now, what is that? That's the Messiah. That's one of the titles of the Messiah. It was well known that the Messiah would come by the line of David. He was of King David's line. So she is using this title and she's acknowledging him as the Messiah. She's acknowledging his authority. She knows who he is, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I don't know whether we could say that of you or not. I don't know how much you know or how much you are willing to acknowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's a woman and she calls him Lord. You must come. You must come and acknowledge his authority if you're going to get saved. Now, I know it's a day and a generation in which people want to do what they want. This is a day, and we live in a postmodern age, and in postmodernism, the whole philosophy of people is that there is no right and there's no wrong, and whatever is right for you may not be right for me, and whatever is wrong for you may not be wrong for me. We just live unto ourselves. We live just according to our own rules and our own morals and our own set of laws as far as morality is concerned. But we have our own authority. There's no other authority. And one of the great marks of this age in which we live is a downplaying of authority. People no longer want to acknowledge authority, whether it be government, whether it be police, whether it be even the minister or the people who are in the echelons, higher echelons of society. There's no recognition of authority. Now that has come down into religion as well. Until there is no recognition today of the Bible. The Bible is lampooned. The word of God is set at naught. We live in an age in which people have no time for the things of God. But let me tell you, dear friend, unless you acknowledge the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't be saved. You've got to come and call him Lord. You've got to come into his place where you can find the answer to your need, into the throne of grace where Jesus answers prayer. The Bible says, having boldness therefore, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the only way you can come. That's the only way that you can come to Christ. It is by the blood of Jesus. It is that blood that opens up the way of access through the veil that is to say his flesh. And you must acknowledge him. Not only did she call him Messiah, but she called him Master. She calls him Lord. He's got to be the Lord of your life. He's got to be the one who's going to take control. And unless you're willing to let the Lord Jesus Christ take control of your life, then, dear friend, you can't be saved. Because you've made a mess of things and you're a sinner. And as you have controlled your life and directed your life, you've made a mess of it. But you've got to let the Lord take control. But the thing is, dear friend, the Lord does want to take control. The Lord is willing to take control of your life now. Will you let him? Not only did she call upon the Lord, but look at, she has commanded of the Lord. Look at verse 21 or 28. The Lord says, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And so she come in persistence and she's come in faith. And you notice when the Lord speaks to her, what does he speak of? Her faith. Great is thy faith. Faith is the key that opens heaven's door. Faith is the thing that makes the difference in the life of this woman. She believes. She acknowledges authority and she comes and she believes that it is the Lord. No matter that he has spoken to her harsh words, she believes in the Lord. There was a Greek many years ago by the name of Antisthenes, and he was a very dull student. And he came to his master and he wanted to follow this philosopher. In those days, it was like the disciples of the Lord. The disciples of a philosopher would follow him wherever he went and they would stay with him. And this day the class met and Antisthenes was there. The philosopher didn't want him to come because he was a dull student. And so he sent for a man with a club. And he brought the club and the philosopher took the club and began to beat Antisthenes. And Antisthenes said to the master, there's no club that will ever drive me away from you. Here I mean to stay and learn whatever you can teach me. And it's not like the woman here. Even though the Lord seemed to want to drive her away, she said, no, Lord, I'm coming to your side. No matter what the difficulties may be, dear friend, no matter what may be the obstacles, you come to the Savior's side. We notice the trust that she displayed.
But then thirdly, I want you to see the triumph she experienced. Look at verse 28 again. The Lord says to her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thy wilt." And her daughter was made whole that from that very hour. And you notice that there's a comforting word here. How the woman's face must have changed when she heard that one word of acceptance from the Lord Jesus. Now there she was with this great anxiety in her heart. She's down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She is standing with eyes perhaps full of tears. And suddenly, in a moment, with a word from the Lord, just this one word from the Lord, that the Lord was going to answer her prayer, that her daughter would be made whole of, the whole of her face changes, the whole of her demeanor changes. And her broken heart is going to be mended. There's a hope in her heart because the Lord Jesus has spoken the word of comfort. Well, you think what turmoil she's been through. You think of what many days of anxiety she has endured. You think of all the ups and downs and the wounds that she's received from this daughter of hers. And yet she still loved her. But one word from the Master and stills the storm in the heart. You know, I remember the anxiety that I went through before I was saved. How many days and weeks I wrestled with conviction of sin. Then I came to the Lord Jesus, and by the peace that invaded the heart and the soul, because the Lord Jesus had come. He brings a comforting word. But not only was it a comforting word, it was a completing word. Because the Lord said that her daughter was made whole. You know, it's not a strange thing that the Lord says here about the demon. Obviously the demon had broken her. Obviously the demon had subtracted something from her. You would think that the Lord Jesus would have said, "Well, your daughter is delivered. Your daughter has been, the devil has been driven from her." But that's not what he says. She's made whole. See, with the devil in her heart, with the devil in her life, she was not whole. There was something missing. Something that was not there. But the Lord says, she's made whole. The devil would try to tell you that in the world you'll have so much joy. You'll have so much blessing. The devil would try to tell you that there is fullness in the world, there's satisfaction in the world. But that daughter there, this daughter of the woman, she was only made whole when the Lord Jesus came into her life. There is a completing word. You can be complete tonight. You can be satisfied. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can have blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, there is comfort. There is completion. There is blessing to be found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the trial she experienced. But then look at the testimony she displayed. Because the Lord comes to her now. And he commends this woman for her faith. He speaks to her. In verse 28 he says, "O woman, great is thy faith." And here's a commending word. And here's a word about her faith. She's put in the class as highly commended here. The Lord, as it were, raises her up. She is now known as a woman of faith. And thank God today that here is faith that has made her whole. Have you faith today? Faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is faith that makes the difference. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please Him. Why is faith so necessary? Because it is the thing that connects us with the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings us to Him. It brings us to His feet. We are justified by faith. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It brings us into the realms of peace. Not only does it do that, but it glorifies Him. He thinks so much of it. Faith that believes in Him, faith that trusts in Him, is the chiefest among 10,000. You know, the Lord could have said of this woman, I don't know, maybe she was some kind of a striking woman. No doubt she was. She came to his feet. He might have commended her for her clothing. He might have commended her for her appearance. Could have said so many things. But the thing that stood out about this woman was her faith. Because faith glorifies the Lord. And faith is God's appointed way. You must come by faith. Dear friend, do you believe the Lord? Christ has died on the cross. He has shed his blood. He has paid the price of sin. He has died to take our sins away. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But you've got to come by faith. Trust him. Take him as your own and personal Savior. Will you do that tonight? This woman is commended for her faith. And dear friend, at the end of the day, when we all stand before God, it is our faith that will make the difference. It's the Christ that will make the difference. But faith, as it were, is the instrument that joins us to Christ. Do you believe God? Do you believe in his way of salvation? Will you trust him now? Will you seek him as your Savior? Will you go away transformed by the mighty power of God? Come tonight. Trust the Lord Jesus and be washed in his precious blood. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.